It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President, Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, President Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support comes from United Electric Cooperative, Clarinda Regional Health Center, and Atchison Holt Electric. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work, the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there's so much to celebrate about our region. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV KRNW, we're pleased to welcome you to the December edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. Segment one, we will be focusing on a story of survival and human compassion. Our guest today is Bio Joachim, and he's a Northwest faculty member who founded and helps run two orphanages in Haiti. In segment two, we feature Michelle Erickson, campaign chair for United Way of Nottoway County, and Jonathan Mitchell, the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Maryville. He's representing the Ministry Center and the Habitat for Humanity. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Bio Joachim to All Things Northwest. Bio is a graduate of Wheaton College, Northern Illinois University, and Kansas University. He joined the Northwest Missouri State University faculty in the fall of 1990. He's a past board member of International Listening Association, and he's served on numerous university and college committees. Bio has served the Maryville community as a speaker and a foster parent. Bio was also the head coach of the Maryville High School girls soccer team from 2003 through 2013, and he's actively involved in orphanage and education work in Haiti, where he will be spending the holiday season. Bio, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, Dr. J.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bio, you and I go back a long time, and it's great to have you here in the studio. And I first want to just say thank you. Thanks for what you do for Northwest Missouri State from a teaching point of view, service point of view, but not just our community, but so many communities beyond. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the encouragement that I've received from you too, and also the example. Seriously.
Well, I appreciate that, Bio. But I'll tell you what, when you talk about the example and the encouragement, I mean, when we think about good things happening around Northwest Missouri State University, we point to people like yourself. And so let's talk first of all about Haiti, because that's a true love of yours. And I've got a set of questions we could talk about in terms of Hope Haiti and some of the things you're doing. But let's go back in time and talk about your upbringing first, and then I'll kind of bring us to Haiti. So you were born and raised in Nigeria. Talk about your upbringing, Bio.
Yeah, I grew up an orphan myself. And I lost my dad when I was 2 years old and my mom when I was seven. But I didn't know much of that because I had extended family members who just stepped in and took care of me. And I grew up with three older sisters, only one of whom actually had a higher education. And she was kind of a model for me, so I took after her. But I'm the only one to actually have what we might call a full college degree in my family. And just the role that education has played in my life then has encouraged me with regard to what I do in Haiti now.
You know, what's funny is we all talk about the importance of education in society, and we see that on an everyday basis here at Northwest, but throughout our country and internationally, and your testimony to that, because you're saying education's made a big difference. Bio, how did you go from Nigeria? How did you make your way over to the United States of America?
I came here to study in 1981, that is to the U.S., and went through, as my bio just indicated, went through Wheaton, then to Northern Illinois and to KU. Then I came to teach here. And then I took a couple of years off, went to Lancaster, England, and then Edinburgh, Scotland. So just with the opportunity that I had to be involved in just those institutions, then my thirst too for just what education means, and having seen what it has done in my own life too, that just grew. And that's just what has brought me to where I am today, in a sense.
Well, and it's incredible where you're at today. I mean, you've had such an impact here at Northwest Missouri State University, and you've been teaching here since 1990, as we indicated earlier. But throughout your teaching career, you certainly have done a lot of different things, as you just indicated, going over to England and so on. But how did you come upon Haiti and your service over there?
It actually happened just in the summer of 2008. I went to the post office, and there I met Dr. Mike Bellamy of the chemistry department, and we were just talking in terms of what we were doing that summer, and the discussion about Haiti came up. So we agreed together that we were going to go to Haiti. Of course, he had been to Haiti before with his mom, and there was a lady who was taking care of some children then that they were supporting. So we went together with his mom and a couple of other people. What I saw there touched my heart. And ever since 2008, I have been going back to Haiti. Now, this was before the earthquake happened in 2010. So the orphanage they were helping then, we call that the original House of Hope, Haiti. But then, again, as we had our eyes on education, we were helping with regard to training these children in just getting the basic primary education. And as they were growing up, the question arose, what will they do or where will they go after the primary school education? So we started looking in the area for even a high school. And the nearest one we could find was about 45 minutes by transportation. And the question was, how will we get these kids over there? So the thought was, okay, why don't we look for a place where we could start a high school? Just one classroom at a time, nothing fancy, something just functional. And so that was how we got involved. And then we got that property. And we went in 2010, there was the earthquake, and there were children in tents all over the land. It was going to be just a high school, but with what we saw, we just felt, okay, here are the children, here is the land, well, we'll have the school and we'll have the children. And so we started the Valley Hope Orphanage there, and now it has 44 children.
Is that right?
And the original one has a 26.
That's an amazing story. And, you know, it's by chance, a U.S. Postal Office encounter with Michael Bellamy from our chemistry department, and then all of a sudden you find yourself over in Haiti. And then fast-forwarding a couple of years, you know, you're building, that from the foundation up, that high school piece, but then the earthquake happens. So talk to us about, you know, you're starting this high school, which you said the closest one at that point was 45 miles away, right?
Yeah.
So you're starting this high school. The earthquake happens. Talk about what you saw in terms of the devastation, and then from where Haiti has come from that point in time.
It was very overwhelming with regard to the earthquake. I mean, just getting off the airplane at Port-au-Prince, because Williamson, where we are located, is about 41 miles north of Port-au-Prince.
Okay.
And just to see debris after debris and just shanties and all of, even today you can still see some of that. It's not completely over yet. That was overwhelming. And it was heart-rending. And then to see the faces of the children too and their condition. That we, things have improved some. There is slow progress, but it's amazing too to see the number of people from the United States and some too from Canada who make it to Haiti. Every time I go there, we'll see people coming in and just pouring in their own time and their effort. They are the ones who are making the real difference there, because the people themselves have problems with the government, and as typical of most developing countries, just lack of trust and just slow moving things across the political spectrum there. But people go in and they make a difference in small pockets, areas that are often neglected. And so it is slow, but there is much progress going on.
And so when you talk about that devastation and kind of the emotional impact that it has, obviously, on everyone there, but then on visitors coming in and coming over to help, how did you take that and say, well, I want to continue to do my work and then start this House of Hope Haiti and just kind of be resilient and move forward? How did you get yourself there and say, let's keep going?
Of course, it's a very concerted effort, joint effort by a group of people who have the vision too that just because we have been blessed so much, we ought also to bless others. And of course, I've mentioned Dr. Mike Bellamy. There is Troy Hayes too in town, and Mike's mother and his wife. So all of us just are involved in this together. And the conviction we had and still have is, yes, we may not be able to reach everybody, but even if it is just 5, 6, or 10 that we can reach, we'll go ahead and make that a difference. And it's grown beyond what we could ever imagine. In the 4 years that we have been involved there, the school, for example, that started with just those few kids there, now is over 600. So it's not just the kids in our orphanage, but the kids in the neighborhood, because there are other primary schools that, again, have no affordable high schools that they can attend. So that school has grown to 600 now, and it keeps growing every year. Again, we just keep adding just step by step, and we've been blessed tremendously by the support that we've received too from others, both here in Maryville and also beyond.
Well, listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski, and we're talking today to Northwest Missouri State University faculty member Bio Joachim. And Bio's talking about his time in Haiti, creating what's called the House of Hope Haiti. And, you know, Bio, you're talking about blessings and, you know, all those in which we receive. And, you know, you've been so inspirational. I've had the opportunity to know you for a long time, but you've always been so very positive and so very poignant about our blessings. So, you know, on behalf of our listeners, I have to say thank you very much for having that very optimistic and very positive attitude. But as you think about the House of Hope Haiti, kind of talk to our listeners about what that means to the Haitians, but also perhaps how you spend a typical day when you do go over to Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the Haitians, at least those with whom we interact, they know a lot about Maryville now, even though they haven't been here, because they look forward every time. Every time they look forward, they know that there will be at least some of us coming down to see them. And it has made a very big impact on the community too. I have been particularly blessed and encouraged to see our students to get involved. For instance, we have the Campus House Ministry that partnered with FIMU, and they were involved in the water project, And some students have actually traveled down there to see what is happening there too. And those the children at the orphanage, they just cling to them. They don't want to let these students go. And the students themselves too, it's hard for them to just say goodbye.
Life changing for our students.
It is. Yeah. It is. And they come back and talk about it and want to go back. And I think it's given them too a greater appreciation of what they have, which in many cases up until then they have taken for granted. And for me, in terms of even classroom instruction, even though I've been there several times now, every time I come back, it's as if, okay, I thought I learned this last time. Now I have to relearn. There's just something new. And I bring that back to, and I share with the students in my class. And as I prepare and look forward to going again, I look forward to, when I went, I thought, okay, I was going to give, which was the attitude. But each time I have gone, I've always come back being given. Mm-hmm. Given in the sense that I see how much love those kids have. And even though with the poverty that goes on in the community itself, yet they are so giving. And that in itself is a gift for me that I can come back and live on until I go back again to meet with them.
Well, how often, Bio, do you go over to Haiti? And kind of explain that typical day, if there is a typical day, maybe.
Yeah. I go in the summer, and then I also go over Christmas break. Typically in the morning, I wake up with the kids at about 5:30 a.m. because I stay in the orphanage with them too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they get up at 5:30. We have our devotion. Then the boys in particular, they want to get on the soccer field and play. So I work with them.
And you know something about soccer. We haven't talked a lot about soccer. That's okay.
So I go through that with them. And then they clean up, go do their chores, and go about the activities for the rest of the day. Then in the afternoon, I get both the boys and the girls together. We sing songs. I use that to teach them English and just some lessons in life itself. Because I ask them questions, what does this mean? Why? What is this about? And so on and so forth. Then in the evening, those of them who are making improvement in their English, I take them along with me. This is before it is dark. We go outside of the orphanage, go into the community itself, and visit with people. Just for them to see too that even though they have it hard, yet from the perspective of those who are outside looking in, they actually have it better, so that they too can be appreciative of what they have. And then to see too, since our goal is not just to make them into an elite class or something, but we want them to be able to grow up and then reach out to their own people. So I take them along with me, and then we go and visit people in the community. And that's on the average how many of the days go by. But then there are also days when we make a special trip. Like last December, for instance, I took some of the children to go and visit some of their known relatives, because we don't want them to be isolated from any remaining relatives they have. And we don't want the relatives to think that, well, these kids, they've just been taken away from them and nothing else. So I took them on a journey to go and visit any known family members that are there. We also take them on field trips just to give them a break. Even though they live about 10 minutes away from the ocean, they never get to really see that. I remember the first time we took some of them to the ocean like that. It was just an excitement just for them to get on the vehicle itself to just travel. That was a big thing for them. So we engage in some of those activities with them.
And that's 10 minutes away, and you're saying yet 45 minutes away was the nearest high school. Yeah. You know, it truly is a story of human compassion, a story of survival. And maybe you can help our listeners understand what are some of the needs of the children and the orphanages over in Haiti.
Yeah. A big need is that of education, of course, because with conditions in Haiti, even those who are going to school now, even some of the teachers themselves, many of them, especially at the primary school level, do not have more than 9th grade or 12th grade education. So we see education as one of the means that the children will not only escape poverty, but also learn in terms of what it means to be good citizens for the country. So the need for scholarship is there, and say 200 to 250, for example, a year will pay for uniform, will pay for books, and will pay for transportation. Wow. It doesn't sound much, but then when you realize that 80% of the population live under poverty, and 54% under extreme poverty. And we're talking about, when I say poverty, I mean earning $2 or less a day, all right? And extreme poverty, even $1 or less. It was just in January this year that the minimum wage was raised from $2.75 to $3.10. That's for an 8-hour day.
Is it? Not per hour.
Not per hour. 8-hour day. So you can imagine that the parents can't even afford to send their kids to school.
So when you're talking about 80% in poverty and 54% in extreme poverty, that need for education, you're saying context-wise, $200 to $250 will pay for uniform, books, and transportation for a full school year.
Yes.
That's amazing. So obviously that's a need. Any other needs beyond the education side?
Yeah, we also need, for the orphanage in particular, we need a security wall, because security issues is a big thing in Haiti. Unfortunately, some children are picked up and sold into slavery or some other things. So that's one of the things we are working on. We also need solar panels. We are working on that too, to provide light in the evening, because there's no electricity in the town where we operate. We have a generator, but then sometimes that it doesn't work well, and then to get it fixed and all of that takes quite a bit of time. Sometimes we can't even find the parts that are necessary, and you have to go to Port-au-Prince, and we may go there and not find that. So that's one of the areas of need too. And we do reach out to people in the mountain villages. We provide them with goats so that they can just get some things going on their own, that will help them support themselves and also their children. So we then there is the need for water too. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Bellamy again works hard on that. Not only the good thing for our orphanage is that we have good water supply, because waterborne diseases are very rampant there. So the kids in the orphanage, they are taken care of, but we are reaching out to the community too, so that they too can get clean, good water supply.
Well, obviously the great need exists in Haiti. Dr. Bellamy and BioU and so many others provide such incredible, incredible service in times of extreme need. So thank you very much. In our time remaining, Bio, if I can just switch the subject just for a moment. Mm-hmm. I don't think listeners really understand your history with soccer and perhaps your playing days. So maybe just if we can just talk about that for a little bit, just as a bit of a transition. Talk about your playing days within that great sport.
When I was growing up, soccer was the only sport that I knew. It was football to me, and mm-hmm. and I remember when I applied for admission to the Wheaton College in Illinois, and there was a list of sports written there, and I checked football. I didn't know what it was. But it was soccer then was my own way too of just realizing my dream. It was fun for me. I grew up on it. That was what I played. And even when I finished, well, I represented my high school for the state and then played for a Division I level soccer club while I was there. So it was something that, again, provided me an avenue, not only as a student, but in terms of meeting with people and socializing and going across from my own state to other states because of the diversity too in Nigeria. So it gave me that exposure to others. And that was a rich experience for me. That gave me that interest too when I came to the US. Of course, I did not qualify to play at the college level because I had already played in that professional level then. But I kept up with my colleagues, some of whom were missionary kids mm-hmm. and who had grown up in Brazil, in other cultures, so we would still play together. And of course, then when I came to Northwest too, I was involved with the Northwest Soccer Club, even the women's soccer club before it became a university full-fledged team. I was involved with that too. So it's been part of my life all along then.
Well, it's a good storyline for our listeners because you talk about not just giving but receiving when you go to Haiti. And as I think about bio at Northwest Missouri State University in our community and the communities that we serve, you have absolutely given. And soccer has been part of that, certainly in the classroom you have, but outside of the classroom. And for that, we're all better. And we're better people because of that. We're better people because of your inspiration and your optimism. And we thank you very much for all that you do for all of us, but certainly for the people of Haiti and the orphanage and all that you do over there.
Thank you very much. And I'm thankful to the community, too, and for the chance that I've been given to serve, because it's truly a privilege to be able to do so.
Well, we thank you very much. Listeners, that was Bio Joachim. He's from Northwest Missouri State University, and as you can tell, a very, very special person. When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Michelle Erickson. She's the campaign chair for United Way of Nottoway County, and Jonathan Mitchell, the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Maryville, representing the Ministry Center and Habitat for Humanity. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. This holiday season, Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to use caution when hanging outdoor lights. More at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center celebrating its 75th anniversary. CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. More information about their programs, services, and health care providers can be found at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. This holiday season, United Electric reminds you to use caution when hanging outdoor lights. More at ueci.coop.
Welcome back to the December edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Michelle Erickson and Jonathan Mitchell. Michelle is very passionate about our community, having grown up in Tarkio, Missouri, and graduated from Northwest with a bachelor's in accounting in 2002 and her MBA in 2003. She's been an instructor of accounting at Northwest for over 10 years. She's completed Leadership Maryville in 2007 and joined the board of directors of the United Way of Nottoway County. In 2011, she served as the board president and has served as secretary treasurer of the board since 2012. Jonathan Mitchell is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Maryville. Since moving here in 2009, he's been actively involved in the community. He's the past president of Habitat for Humanity of Nottoway County and is a current board member. He's also the president of the Ministry Center, which is the food bank and clothing pantry for Nottoway County. Jonathan, Michelle, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Well, let's get it started and talk about the United Way of Nottoway County. Let's just kind of set the record straight. What does United Way do for Nottoway County?
Well, our primary goal for the Nottoway County area is to do some fundraising efforts for 14 different agencies that service Nottoway County residents.
And you talk about the 14 kind of agencies and what they might entail.
Yeah, we have 14 different agencies. They all must be a nonprofit 501c3 in order to actually be funded by the United Way. So they go through a fairly extensive process. They have to do this application process every year to request funds, and they have to focus in the areas of education, income, or health. So in other words, they have to serve to help children and youth achieve their full potential, to help promote financial stability and independence for families and individuals, and then to also just improve the overall health of our county residents.
So I just want to make sure, when you talk about the extensive process, the board members then review the applications and say
correct,
yay or nay in terms of if my organization will be one of them that will be funded. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so can you kind of mention the 14 that have been chosen for 2015?
Sure. Within the education area, we fund Big Brothers Big Sisters of Nottoway County, the Girl Scouts of Northeast Kansas and Northwest Missouri, the Pony Express Boy Scouts, Nottoway County 4-H, and the Nottoway County Community Building. Within the area of health, we fund Nottoway County School Nurses, Children's Mercy Hospital, the Health Emergency Lifeline Program, and Recreation and Education for Individuals with Disabilities, and then Children and Family Center. And then within the area of income or financial stability, we fund the Community Services Incorporated, Salvation Army, the Ministry Center, and Nottoway County Senior Center.
And boy, our listeners, as we think about all those organizations, unbelievable organizations helping so many, and the age range and the service area and all of the components that go in. So as board members, how do you select the criteria that you use, but how do you select an organization to say, you know, this one's worthy to go forward in terms of funding?
Well, like I said, the application process usually occurs in April, and so they have to fill out this very lengthy application, and I think Jonathan could sure, attest to this, but they have to provide things like what is their mission and how many individuals are helped, and because we try to stretch the dollar as far as we can. We don't really have that much that we can raise here, and so we try to do the best we can to service as many as possible. So they have to provide us with their financial information, their mission, how many kids or adults are funded, and what is the actual community impact? And then at the same time, they also have to ask, you know, how much money do they really need from us? And I'll tell you, all of our organizations are really good at trying to do as much as they possibly can with the littlest amount possible. And then based on the amount that they request and the amount of people that we service, the amount of people that we can help, the board just has to try to dwindle down how much we think we're going to be able to raise to be able to help each one of those agencies.
And like you say, Michelle, trying to stretch that dollar.
Try to stretch that dollar for sure.
And Michelle, can you kind of talk about some of the allocations?
Okay, there are two major allocations that the United Way funds. One of those is the general allocations that we're actually raising funds for right now in order to help the operating expenses for those 14 agencies that we serve. We also have, in addition to those allocation requests, every year we send out applications to nonprofits. They don't have to be an agency of the United Way, to any nonprofit organization for special requests. Now, the difference between the allocations and the special request is that allocations typically fund operating expenses, while the special requests usually are one-time requests, things that might be capital expenditures instead. And so this year, we were actually able to use $39,000 of the income that we've earned off of our investment account in order to make special requests. And we funded, I believe, 9 different agencies this year.
That's excellent. Well, Jonathan, can you talk about the funds raised and how those stay in Nottoway County and how they go into Nottoway County?
At the Ministry Center, as you said, is the food pantry and clothing pantry for Nottoway County. And those funds that we receive from United Way are all spent locally to purchase primarily food for those who come in needing those services. And what's fantastic about working with United Way is that we have a great board, and their mission is to feed people and clothe people. And that takes a lot of work. The more funds we get from United Way, the less time we have to worry about raising funds, and we can do a better job, a more efficient job of getting the food to people who need it and getting the clothes to people who need it.
So if you think about, Jonathan, the impacts that that you've seen within the Ministry Center, talk about some of those impacts.
Absolutely. One of the things that is significant for me personally is the children. I don't want any child to go to bed hungry. And one of the things that we have done with great community support through United Way is our Brown Bag Lunch Program and Backpack Buddies. These are supplemental food programs that children receive if they get a free lunch at school. On the weekend, they get a backpack with food to sustain them through the weekend. Studies done several years ago, it's probably been about 10 years ago, were finding that kids were coming to school hungry on Monday morning because they didn't eat over the weekend. And I find that completely unacceptable for our kids. And so with United Way's help, we've been able to instigate or start this Backpack Buddies. We now have 288 children on that program. It's countywide. And that is profoundly significant because when kids are hungry, they can't learn, they can't function, they can't develop. And we want these kids to grow up, to learn, and to be the best possible people they can be.
And Jonathan, how about the Habitat for Humanity and the impacts there?
Habitat for Humanity does one thing. We build homes. And stable, affordable housing is a key for a family to be successful in any way. A lot of the applicants that we have find themselves in unstable housing. That is that they move every 10 to 12 months, which is a financial burden. It is an instability for their kids. And it adds stress to the family. Where is the next rent check going to come from? How are we going to pay for utilities? Habitat builds homes, and we actually sell the homes to the family at a zero-interest loan. And this provides them a safe, decent, affordable house where they can live, grow, and thrive. And they know that they can stay there. We design the mortgage payments at a zero-interest rate so they can stay there as long as they want. And what I love about Habitat for Humanity is we use previous, the monies we receive from previous homes to build our next home. So, for example, we received a special allocations grant from United Way on our current build to help with some of the construction cost. And the family will pay for the construction of that house. So money that is donated to Habitat for Humanity doesn't only go into this house, but it also carries to the next house, to the next house, and to the next house. And that's the way Habitat works, and it has a huge impact on the lives of families.
So as you think about the Ministry Center and Habitat for Humanity, you know, what would they be like without support from United Way?
Well, the Ministry Center would not be able to function, quite frankly. We receive significant grants that are a substantial part of our operating budget. And by operating budget, I mean we buy food with that money in Nottoway County, and we feed families in Nottoway County. With United Way, we find special things that that Habitat needs and apply for grants from United Way. And this year we applied for a grant to purchase some insulated structural panels for this home, which will eventually save this family quite a bit in utility costs. So, again, without United Way's help, we would be building a home without these special structural panels, and this family would have higher utility costs.
Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB KRNW. I'm your host, John Jasinski. You're hearing from Jonathan Mitchell there about the United Way's impact on the local ministry center, but also Habitat for Humanity. Michelle Erickson, you know, you've been involved with the United Way. You've got a goal this year as a board. Talk about the goal and kind of where you're at and what listeners can do to help support.
Well, our goal for the 2015 campaign year, which is usually conducted in September and October of 2014, it's called the 2015 campaign year because that's when the funds are paid out. Our goal for this year was $110,000. And here it is, you know, late in the year. Technically, our campaign period is over, and we've only been reported $38,770. Now, I do know that there's a lot of companies out there that they do employee campaigns that we haven't received the complete report from, but we're running pretty short right now. And last year, we were short on goal. Last year, we raised around $89,000 of our $110,000 goal. We were able to use some of the funding from our investment account in order to make up for that shortfall. But if we have another shortfall like that again this year, chances are we're going to have to adjust our allocations downwards, and we're not going to be able to give as much money to any of our agencies as what we would like to.
So, and our listeners certainly have heard the impacts, Jonathan, of United Way. So, Michelle, as you think about it, you know, why should individuals listening and certainly friends and colleagues, why should they invest in and donate to the United Way?
Well, Jonathan's kind of mentioned this once already, but first of all, just in general, a donation to the United Way, it actually funds 14 different agencies. So that's a huge impact, for one. Secondly, if we can do the fundraising efforts for those organizations that are primarily staffed by volunteers, that reduces the amount of time that they have to spend on the fundraising, and they can focus on providing their mission. And then thirdly, is just the United Way. Like I said, we stretch our dollar as much as we can, and all of our agencies stretch their dollar as much as they can. So it doesn't take much to make an impact. So some examples would be, for example, it costs $7 to buy a senior's meal at the senior center. It's cost approximately $5, I believe, for one backpack buddy for the weekend for one student. The brown bags program, that is something that occurs over the summer, and it'll feed a student for a month in the summer. And that takes a total of $56 for 1 month to feed one student.
So whether it be $5 or $56, those are stretched and obviously impact a child with regard to hunger for a weekend or over a month, the needs in the summer, et cetera.
Yes, every dollar counts. Regardless of how much you might be able to give, every dollar counts.
And obviously the message is, it's not just individual listeners, but if you work for an organization, a company that, you know, wants to match funds, whatever the case may be, but encouraging your employer to help donate with this shortage of the United Way this year and getting to your goal. I assume the goal of $110,000 is, as you look across your donor organizations and their needs, their projected needs, would help fund their needs across the 2015 year.
Certainly.
Jonathan, anything else to add about the impact of United Way?
Yes, I would just like to add that the United Way does a fantastic job. They work hard to stretch these dollars, and these 14 agencies that they have chosen to partner with are excellent agencies. And I can't say enough how much relief it takes off of a board, whether it be Habitat for Humanity or the Ministry Center, not to have to work so much in the area of fundraising. When we receive those United Way grants, that's money we don't have to go out there and try and find ourselves, because we can focus on our mission, which is housing people with Habitat for Humanity or feeding and clothing people with the Ministry Center. It makes a huge impact, and I can't express enough how grateful we are for the United Way's work and what an impact it has on individuals and their lives. The monies that the United Way gives to these agencies literally enables people to develop, grow, and thrive as they were meant to be.
And Michelle, in closing, can you talk about next steps and why we all should embrace the United Way and what you're doing?
Well, like we've been saying all along, funds that are raised here in Nottoway County stay here in Nottoway County to help our own friends and family. And one of the underlying sayings that we commonly use throughout the United Way is you stretch out your hand to one and you improve the condition of all. And so I think that is, the underlying theme of the United Way and what we can do to support our community. It's important that we do what we can to support our entire community to make everybody's life that much better.
Michelle Erickson and Jonathan Mitchell, thank you so much for uplifting individuals, uplifting our communities, the communities that we serve. We appreciate your service, and thanks for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest on KHCB KRNW is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Bio Joachim, Michelle Erickson, and Jonathan Mitchell. Thanks, too, to our producer, Ben Nully. He's a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KHCB KRNW station manager, Rodney Harris. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV, KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from United Electric Cooperative, Clarinda Regional Health Center, and Atchison Holt Electric. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. This program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Nully. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.